This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, you know, the left hates Elon Musk so much that they've now just implemented a new mandate. All vehicles must be gas-powered by 2035. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I love being in afternoon drive in the Trump administration. I really do, because there's so much breaking news. And typically he does it during our show, but today he decided to do it before the show, which is very, very nice of him, if you ask me, because then it gives me the ability to actually do a show without getting interrupted throughout the entire show. But nevertheless, it was very important. He had the Secretary General of NATO in the Oval Office, and they're talking about peace. Now, look, I'm sorry, but if he can achieve peace with Ukraine and Russia, that's a Nobel Peace Prize right there. No, really, because we were told this guy was a madman who was going to—he wasn't going to stop at Ukraine. He was going to march into Poland. He was going to be the next Hitler, take over Europe, and the entire world was going to die. The entire world was going to be threatened by him. So if Donald Trump is able to achieve a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia, he should get the Nobel Peace Prize. You've just stopped Hitler. You stopped the next Adolf Hitler from conquering Europe. That's what we were told by the left over and over and over again. So they should absolutely 100% give it to him if he's able to achieve that. The other question is, what about Greenland? Should we take Greenland? Well, it was surprising to hear what the NATO General Secretary had to say about this today in the Oval Office with the president. This is cut number one.
What is your vision for the potential annexation of Greenland and getting the protection?
Yeah, well, I think it'll happen. And I'm just thinking, I didn't give it much thought before, but I'm sitting with a man that could be very instrumental. You know, Mark, we need that for international security, not just security, international. We have a lot of our favorite players, you know, cruising around the coast, and we have to be careful. And we'll be talking to you. It's a very appropriate, really a very appropriate question.
And there's an issue in the high north, so the Arctic. So what you did, so when it comes to Greenland, yes or not joining the U.S., I would leave that outside for me, this discussion, because I don't want to drag NATO in that. But when it comes to the high north and the Arctic, you are totally right. The Chinese are now using these routes. We know that the Russians are rearming. We know we have a lack of icebreakers. So the fact that the seven, outside Russia, there are seven Arctic countries working together on this under U.S. leadership is very important to make sure that that region, that that part of the world stays safe. And we know things are changing there, and we have to be there.
Yeah, this is about securing the Western Hemisphere. I mean, if you look at it geographically speaking, this really does make sense for the United States of America. It really does. Just like taking Canada makes sense. I'm not saying take it by force, but although if we had to, what does that involve? Killing a couple of moose? Mooses. But we could do it. I mean, if we had to. I'm not saying we should, but we had to. But we have rehabilitated Justin Trudeau's career, though. He's used the tariff issue to rehabilitate himself in Canada. So he's not going to go to Cuba anytime soon. President talked about when he first went to NATO, what it was like. Very few people were paying. The left has accused him of hating NATO, wanting to destroy NATO, wanting to let Vladimir Putin conquer Europe, wanting NATO to be destroyed to help Putin. And here he is today with the Secretary General of NATO, in the Secretary General of NATO in the Oval Office, talking about expanding NATO by just simply having countries pay their fair share. Cut number three.
When I first went to NATO, my first meeting, I noticed that very few people were paying. And if they were, they weren't paying their fair share. There were only seven countries that were paying what they were supposed to be paying, which was...
It's even worse.
Could be even worse. But there were just very few countries that were paying. And even the paying, it was at 2%, which is too low. It should be higher. It should be quite a bit higher. But... yet Poland, and I remember Poland was actually paying a little bit more than they were supposed to, which I was very impressed with. They've been actually terrific, and some of the others. But most of them weren't paying, or they were paying very little. And I didn't think it was appropriate to bring it up there, but I said, it's going to be brought up at my next meeting. And my next meeting, you know, the first meeting, you want to give them a little break. The second meeting, it began, and I was able to raise hundreds of billions of dollars. I just said, we're not going to be involved with you if you're not going to pay. And the money started pouring in, and NATO became much stronger because of my actions and working along with a lot of people, including Mark. But they would not pay for other presidents, and I don't think other presidents even knew that they weren't paid. I asked first question, has everybody paid up? And literally, I mean, they told me seven. You could be right. It could be three, but that makes it even worse. But they just weren't.
They just weren't paying up. That's the bottom line. And that's not right. It's also not good for NATO, by the way. It's not good for NATO if these other countries are not paying up. So this is a good thing. I just find it. It's just, I mean, I want peace. I want wars to end. Trump's doing it, and the left hates him for it. Elon Musk is helping him achieve all this, and the left hates Elon Musk. And then now they're burning Teslas, and they're mandating. Well, it's a joke, but it's not. Is it? Would it be that far out of the realm of possibility if tomorrow blue state governors like His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable in New Jersey came out and said, peasants, I hereby decree that tomorrow all cars in New Jersey must be gas-powered, just to stick it to Elon Musk? Because they're burning these Teslas. Yeah, they're destroying these things. They're burning dealerships, and they're advocating for this. They're advocating for this as a form of protest. We'll come back to that. The president talked about the issue of the shutdown and what it would mean. And it'll be Democrats doing this. And I do agree. The Democrats will own it. And if the Republicans get blowback from the corporate media, I don't care. I don't think they have the power they used to have anyway. It doesn't matter. I want to save our country. You want to save our country? This is what we got to do to save our country. It is to dramatically cut the size of the executive branch of government, because that's the branch of the government we're talking about, baby. It isn't the congressional branch, the legislative branch. In fact, we're trying to return power to the legislative branch and away from the executive branch. Although we do need to rein in the judiciary with district court judges, but that's not what we're talking about either. We're talking about bureaucrats, a shadow government, too big, too expensive, and if it means we spend a couple months figuring out who's essential and who's not, I can live with that. I'm okay. And at the end of that great experiment, if we find out that 2/3 of government doesn't need to go back to work, because don't forget, during that time, everything that the president deems essential for security will still be running. That's the military. That's really anything he decides. It's up to him and him alone to make those decisions about what is essential and what is not. Democrats have played stupid games in the past. Play stupid games, get stupid prizes. There's stupid games, including putting up a black tarp to cover up the Lincoln Memorial, shutting down national parks. We don't have to do that. You can go see the Lincoln Memorial. We're not going to put a big black tarp over it. But we can determine what is really essential and what isn't. And I just wonder how much Democrats would regret that. Now, I know that, you know, for a lot of the swamp creatures that live and work in government, that would be tough on them to find out that they don't have a job in 4 months, because during the time that they were not at work, we pay them, you know, they get their back pay and everything. But we find out that the government and the United States of America can survive without them going back to do that job, that it truly is non-essential. Works for me, because I never understood that about past shutdowns. They go, only non-essential employees have to show up, or only essential employees. Well, if they're not essential, why are they working for the government? Why are they working there? That never made any sense to me. Cut number five.
They do a shutdown, and ultimately that might lead to very, very high taxes, because we're talking about a shutdown. We're talking about getting to work immediately on the greatest tax bill ever passed. That was the one we did. It's a renewal, and it's an addition to it. And we're going to cut people's taxes. And if we don't open, the Democrats are stopping all of these good things that we're providing. We're providing the greatest package of benefits that this country's ever provided. The biggest part of that's going to be tax cuts for the middle class and for businesses, small businesses, employers, people that hire people and jobs. And if it's shut down, it's only going to be, if there's a shutdown, it's only because of the Democrats. And they would really be taking away a lot from our country and from the people of our country.
And ask yourself this question, if they shut it down for what? This is the spending that they approved. This is their spending. It's just a continuing resolution, a continuation of the spending that President Joe Biden signed that the Democrats all voted for. So what are they opposed to exactly? And in fact, they were all warning about the government shutting down and what that would mean to the average American. Here is Senator Chuck Schumer. It's cue up cut number 14. He is now the guy who ultimately make that decision about whether the government shuts down or not. And he warned us it would be very bad if that happened. So since this is the Democrats' spending bill, it is their CR, we're just continuing it. Why would they want to shut down the government? Cut 14.
If the government shuts down, it will be average Americans who suffer most. A government shutdown means seniors who rely on Social Security could be thrown into chaos as the Social Security Administration limits certain services like benefit verifications or fixing errors in payments. Our veterans could see regional VA offices shut down and support services put on halt. Some of our military service members could be forced to work without pay. Families who benefit from WIC and other nutrition programs could see benefits.
So then why are you going to let it happen again, Chuck? Huh? You know what my favorite moment, though, today at the Oval Office was? As much as the president talked about peace with Russia and Ukraine and the support for NATO, it was really when he brought up the auto pen and who was in control of the Biden White House. So if you remember, we had a great chat yesterday with our friend Congressman Scott Perry about the Biden auto pen and all these things that were signed without Biden's knowledge, apparently, without Biden's memory, apparently. Here's what the president said about this today. Cut 32.
Take a look at he signs by auto pen. Who is signing all this stuff by auto pen? Who would think you sign important documents by auto pen? You know, these are major documents you're signing. You're proud to sign them. You have your signature on something. In 300 years, they say, oh, look, can you imagine? Everything was signed by auto pen, almost everything. Nobody's ever heard of such a thing. So should have never happened.
Should have never happened. But who was in charge? I want to just play you from yesterday's show, the segment with Representative Scott Perry, just in case you missed it, because I think it's really important what he said here about what Congress needs to do. And it's we got to stay on top of this. This is, in my opinion, the greatest political scandal of my lifetime. Here you had a president who was without question, I don't want to say cognitive decline. He was cognitively gone. And now we're finding out that all these things were signed, possibly without his knowledge, possibly without that, which meant that somebody was running a shadow presidency in the White House the entire time. And this is a real problem here. And the question that I asked earlier in the show today is, if he doesn't remember signing the liquid natural gas export ban, then who did? And if at one point Biden said we're not sending tanks and planes to Ukraine because that's World War III, but then ultimately we did, was that Biden's decision or did somebody else do that? This is why we got to get to the bottom of this. This is what Scott Perry said to me yesterday. Take a listen. What can we do about getting to the bottom of this whole AutoPen scandal? I mean, in my opinion, Congressman Perry, this is the greatest political scandal of my lifetime. This idea that you had a president, cognitive decline, they covered it up, they gaslit us, they told us it was a deep fakes. The whole time, his brain was gone. And then we find out that this AutoPen was being used to sign executive orders and all kinds of other things. And we don't know if the president had any knowledge of this or people were just doing this on their own. I mean, we got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we do have to get to the bottom of it. And, the real question is who had the authorization of the AutoPen? And I guess it's going to have to start with an investigation beginning with the chief of staff. And, if he's not going to come in and talk, then I guess it's going to be subpoenas to everybody surrounding the president to see who authorized what and what the president knew. Part of the problem is I don't know that the president himself, President Biden, would be a very good witness. I'm not sure he actually would remember. Well, first of all, you can't remember things that you don't know about. But even that, in his state, it's not clear whether he's cognitively able to remember things that actually did happen that he might have been aware of. So I think it's going to be difficult. But I also think we have to know the limits of how far this went and who was actually making the decisions.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And we do need subpoenas. And I'm glad to hear you say that because we got to get to the bottom of this. And there's pardons involved here, executive orders. I mean, massive amounts of spending towards the final days. I mean, just looking at the last few months of this administration and what they were trying to do to this country. I mean, serious consequences to the American people in the final few months and even in the final 30 days.
That's exactly right. I mean, the people elect a president to make the decisions and direct the policies, the ship of state, so to speak. You know, they know that the president's going to appoint his staff and he's going to have trusted staff members and so on and so forth. But the people never elected the staff to make the decisions. And that's the real question. Who was making the decisions?
Right.
And then, based on that, because if Joe Biden was making the decisions, are you telling me that he was incapable of moving his hand enough to write a signature? I mean, if that's the case, that's another part of the story. But that certainly goes to the fact that, there was impairment there. So you can't have it both ways. Either he was capable of moving a pen on a paper and signing his name, or he wasn't. And if he was, why did he use an auto pen? It's not like he was signing, thousands of letters every day or orders every day. So I think we absolutely have to get to the bottom of this.
No, the auto pen's there for letters and to say thanks for the invite to the Kiwanis Club, but we can't make it this year.
Okay, you can jump in.
Thank you for that. And you can listen to the whole interview, and you should. It's on podcast, so definitely take a listen to the whole thing. We talked about a lot of other issues as well. Got into Epstein too. And I asked him about Epstein, and the point that he raised on Epstein was, if he was an asset, which we're all apparently now saying he's an asset, what was the reason we would allow this to be? What did we get out of Jeffrey Epstein being an asset to the intelligence community? Listen, this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It makes me very, very happy to think that summer's on its way. And it makes me very happy to think about spring break's on the way. So have you booked your spring break splash package yet with the kids? It's a great time. Heated indoor pool packages that include breakfast. And Memorial Day is going to be here before you know it. So make your Memorial Day plans too. What you don't want to do though is you don't want to get a shore house. You want the amenities of a resort like the Grand Hotel of Cape May. You want all the amenities of that resort. Plus, you get the pool, the indoor pool if it rains, and the outdoor heated pool too. Pool bar, restaurant right on site. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. How does the business community feel about Trump's tariffs? That's the question. The Goldman Sachs CEO, David Solomon, with a point here that might raise a lot of eyebrows in terms of how the business community actually feels about what President Trump is trying to do with tariffs, cut number 10.
What can you tell us in terms of your reaction and the impact of tariffs on the economy and your business?
Well, I was at the business roundtable yesterday, and I'd start, Maria, by just observing that one of the things that I do like is that the president is engaged with the business community. Yeah. The administration is engaged with the business community. And that's a different experience than what we've had over the course of the last 4 years. I'd also observe his sense of optimism in the engagement yesterday at the BRT. I think the business community understands what the president is trying to do with tariffs. Now, the business community is always going to want lower tariffs everywhere in the world. At the moment, there's some uncertainty. The market's digesting that, but we're going to have to watch and see how this all plays out.
Sorry about that. Thank you. If these tariffs are for leverage and for getting the other countries of the world to treat us fairly, then I'm all for it. And you should be for it. And everybody should be for it because it's a good thing. That's the question. I mean, if we really want to talk about the situation that we're in right now, you know, you got Democrats looking to do a government shutdown. Senator Rand Paul said it. He said, you know, these fiscal conservatives, these are Biden spending levels are what we're talking about right now. Biden spending levels. It's the fiscal conservatives we should be upset about, but yet the Democrats are going to turn around and vote to shut down the government when it's their money, it's their spending, it's their level of government spending. So just ask yourself that question and say, what are they trying to shut down here exactly? What is it that the Democrats are trying to shut down? This is spending that the Democrats put in place. This is spending that the Democrats wanted. This is what the Democrats were pushing for all these years. I mean, come on. And yet, that's where he might be. Even Bernie Sanders, before he was sad Bernie Sanders, was passionate Bernie Sanders about avoiding a government shutdown because what it could mean to America, what it could mean if we had a government shutdown and how bad this could be. Cut 13.
The truth is that shutting down the government is a serious and dangerous action that we must do everything possible to prevent. Shutting down the government would impact tens of millions of our fellow Americans who would be unable to access government services. It would severely impact federal employees who would not get the paychecks they expected. It would also have a very significant impact on our armed forces. In other words, we must do everything that we can to prevent a government shutdown.
And what about now, Bernie? What about now? Now you roll in on the shutdown, which I know is going to make you very, very sad, Bernie. But still, why are you all in? Now, Democrats right now have a messaging problem, as you know. They're trying to figure out what do they do about the message. Tim Walz came out doing his best Richard Simmons impression again and said it's his fault. He takes it all on him. It's his fault that Trump won. He's blaming himself. That big Midwestern doofus with his tampons in the bathroom, he's blaming himself. Governor Josh Shapiro is there today at the little Democrat confab trying to figure out the future. He's got his own political problems. And then there's John Fetterman, who's telling Democrats, stop saying things like oligarchs. And I think he's referring to sad Bernie Sanders. Stop saying things like oligarchs. Like, talk like normal people. Sound like a normal person. Stop acting like you're some exalted person. This is what This is what Fetterman had to say. And I really do think he's thinking about Bernie Sanders here in this. Take a listen.
Thank you, Ron. All right. So the Democratic Party scrambling to find a new message as Senator John Fetterman responds this way to a question about, you know, did he think that the country is being run by oligarchs?
I was asked Democrats, like, start talking like a regular person. Most people are not sure what an oligarch is. You know, it's like, okay, is an oligarch, is it like a rich, is it a rich dude or woman? Okay, well, but there's also another, a little secret too. Democrats, you know, we like billionaires if they're giving to our causes or to our party as well too.
Okay, now that's Matt DeSantis, that's video, because that didn't see any like video to me. That was video?
Oh, no, sorry, it was just audio.
Oh my God, can you just Google Fetterman oligarchs like I did and you'll find 500 links to the video?
Well, okay, when you ask,
is it that hard for you to just do that? I was able to do it and I'm hosting a show. Is
okay,
it that hard for you to just Google Fetterman oligarchs and then click video and then you'll see all the choices we can have for the video?
In my defense, when
no,
you
I don't
asked
want to hear
for
a defense.
It an hour and a half ago, I didn't have a lot of time to pull it up because I didn't know how soon you were going to go to it. So instead, I just guaranteed that we had the audio and I pulled it from the logger.
Okay.
Well, all right, I'll get the video. I'll get the video.
No, I didn't forget like, it. Forget
we've
it.
We've got 40 clips.
Forget it.
We've got 40 clips. We got 40 clips. You have 40 video clips. Do we need a 41st?
Yes. Yeah, that's an interesting, great show and a good show. 41 versus 40.
All right. Well, then I'm sorry that I prevented us from hitting great show status today.
We were so close. We were this close. We almost did it. We got so close. Even The View trashing Gavin Newsom over the interview with Steve Bannon, saying that he's despicable. So you got so Josh Shapiro's got his own political problems because there's that whole issue with his aide and the emails that went missing over the sexual harassment lawsuit. There's that whole thing and the cover up, the payoff to this woman for $300,000. In fact, Shapiro was asked about that. What number is that, Matt, where he responds to the what of the 40 clips, not 41 that we do have? Which one is that?
Sorry, which one did you want, Shapiro?
Yeah, Shapiro. Oh, come on.
I don't know. I didn't memorize the number. It is number 8, I believe.
8 out of 40. All right, number 8 out of 40. Let's play this. This is Governor Josh Shapiro was asked about the missing emails in the wake of his aide, legislative aide, sexual harassment case. A week's worth of emails gone. Gone. And this guy's going to run for president in 2028, but this is a political scandal now he's got to deal with. Cut number 8.
He says that the administration can't locate key emails in the case. Can you comment on that report?
I didn't read the story. Last I checked, you wrote for the Post-Gazette, so it's kind of strange you'd be citing some other news source. But I didn't read the story, and I'm confident my administration follows all document retention policies. Anything else?
We did write many stories about the original claim.
Anything else?
That's it.
Anything else? Anything else? Just you want to just gloss it over? Yep. You're going to try, right? You're going to try to gloss it over, but it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work. I'm telling you right now, you can try to gloss it over, but not going to work. All right. Before I go to break, I want to play the Philadelphia meat heist. This is my favorite story of the day by far. This is the best. You know how we always say, my people, we always talk about something fell off the back of a truck. You know that saying? You see, DeSantis, you're Italian. You've heard that saying before, right? It fell off the back of a truck?
Yes, yeah.
Are you paying attention?
Yeah, I said yeah. I heard it.
Justin, I'm going to talk to you from now on. Forget it. He's clearly busy.
I was listening. I responded.
Justin, have you heard the phrase, it fell off the back of a truck?
Yeah, my grandfather, who is very Italian, says it all the time.
See, that's what'll happen is I'll get somebody something nice for a gift and they'll be like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. I'll be like, yeah, fell off the back of a truck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what you do. And then, you know, then, I mean, obviously it did fall off the back of a truck, which is why I'm giving it to somebody as a gift. But still, what that means is that we didn't pay for it because it literally fell off the back of a truck leaving a port because somebody in the mob stole it. And it's like when they see the Sopranos, they're still handing out, you know, coats and shoes and everything that came off the docks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I love that. DeSantis, you ever watched Sopranos?
I have seen it, yes.
There's like a delay. It's like a delay like you're in China or something. Well, I don't understand this. Why is there a delay?
I don't hear a delay on my end. My responses are instantaneous.
Oh, my God. It's like you need time to process it. All right. Well, here's the Philadelphia, great Philadelphia meat.
I just
story.
Have to unmute my mic.
Oh, my God. Well, I gave you the I bought you that fell off the back of a truck, that Rolls mic mute thing. It's a button you got to hit.
Yeah, but I have to hold it down is the issue.
No, you don't.
This one you do have to hold down.
The one that I bought you that I sent you on Amazon, you don't have to hold it down. You click it.
All right, well, I'll try it again, but it wasn't
the
working
blue,
before.
The blue Rolls mute microphone thing that I got you, that I sent you as a gift.
Yes. I haven't used it in like 2 months because it was,
oh my
again,
God. Justin, do you hear this?
Properly.
I take the time out of my day to send the man something to help do a better show so we can avoid this annoying delay, and he doesn't use it for 2 months.
Typical. It wasn't helping me. So it was just one more thing I had to connect every day when I, you know, logged in to
How
do the show.
How hard is it to
so
connect something with a freaking it's a thing? Hang on. I'm not supposed to be walking, but now I got me all ticked off. I just want to show everybody on the YouTube stream what I'm talking about here. You see this thing? This is what we're talking about. It's a mic switch. You hit it and it mutes your microphone. This is what I'm talking about. It's in my hands here. Let me just as you can gauge the size of it. Here's a coffee cup. Here's the mic switch. Which one's bigger? Justin, you see that. Which one's bigger in your mind right now?
The coffee cup.
Okay, very good. So now this mic switch, which you push down on the white button, it's muted. You push, and then it's not muted. Muted, not muted. Muted, not muted. You see? This is too much for you, DeSantis, to hook up. I spent my money, my good hard-earned money, buying for you.
Well, again, when I set it up originally, I had to hold the button down in order for it to mute my microphone.
You don't have to hold the button down. That's the whole point of this. The whole point is you just go boom, boom, boom. It doesn't hold down. That's what I'm saying.
All right, well, I'll set it up again and see if I get a different result. I'll do it. Actually, you know what? I'll do it during the commercial break.
Why don't you do that? That would be fantastic, if you don't mind. If you don't mind. If you can take a minute.
I'll hook up this mute button, and I'll find you a video clip of John Fetterman.
I don't want your wildest dreams come true. I don't want your sloppy seconds Fetterman video. Forget it.
It's a great video, though. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, now you're looking at it, right? Not 90 minutes ago when I asked for it. Fine. Before we go to break, let's do the great meat heist. Actually, I'll come back. I'll do the meat heist. I'm going to take a break because I'm late. But Emmons Roofing and Siding, they're going to do great work for you. My friends at Emmons are the absolute best when it comes to your home. And now that spring is here, it's time to think about upgrading your home. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding today. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And the best part about Emmons is their customer service. Matt and Stephanie understand the job has to be done right. It has to be done on time, has to be done on budget. They even clean up when they're done. And each and every one of my listeners, you get 10% off inflation relief discount, 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson windows, and so much more. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. That's right. They'll remodel your bathroom just like they did in my old house. They did such a great job. It was wonderful. My wife was thrilled. And you know what they say? Happy wife, happy life. So reach out to Emmons today. Get a 10% off inflation relief discount. Your home will not only look better from the curb, it'll be able to withstand the elements. You'll have a lifetime warranty on that roof. What are you waiting for? EmmonsRoofing.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh yeah, baby. We are cooking with gasoline on this show today. Full speed ahead. It's great, great, great stuff. I'll get to the great Philly meat heist in just a second, but I want to mention that, you know, as the Democrats are now trying to figure out which way to go, you got Andrew Cuomo, the love gov, trying to make his political comeback. You've got Gavin Newsom inviting every right wing MAGA influencer who will possibly go on his podcast. And I'm just going to say it again. Stop going on this guy's podcast. You're being used. Enough. Stop it. Bannon, Charlie Kirk, Michael Savage. Enough. Like, stop it. Stop. Okay? Give it enough. But even the ladies on The View realize what a sleazy creep Gavin Newsom really is. And he is. He's just a freaking slime ball. So the ladies on The View lost it over the fact that he had Steve Bannon on. So at least there's that. Cut 30.
I think this is a poor strategy for Gavin Newsom. I actually did think that he was one of the leaders that would come out in terms of 2028. I remember watching his annual State of the Union address in California, and he criticized Republicans, and he promoted California as an antidote to the poisonous populism of the right. Now he has a Steve Bannon on the show who's saying, you know, you're going to get to populism. There's a long road. He gives zero pushback there. He gives zero pushback, as Sarah pointed out, to really what is a slur against Senator Warren, a sitting senator. He gives a platform and normalizes, in my view, an election denier and someone who is the person who is behind Project 2025. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, if you are going to be a public servant, you better be unapologetically authentic, because voters can sniff out inauthenticity in a second. And I thought that that was one of the most inauthentic things I have seen Gavin Newsom do.
Wow.
I'm terribly,
so you don't believe
terribly,
in the let them hang themselves theory?
No, I'm terribly disappointed. I think you meet energy with energy. And what he did was he showed his pretty white teeth and his cute face and did nothing other than that. And I think it's despicable.
Wow. There you go. Despicable. I tell you, I'm glad that people are recognizing what a slime ball the guy is, because he is. He's a total, utter slime ball. What he did during COVID. You remember the time they had the skate park on the beach? And his big bulldozers came and they poured sand all over it to fill in the skate park so the kids could not go skateboarding or roller skating or anything else on the beach outside in the sunshine of California during COVID. They also arrested a guy for swimming by himself. I don't know who they were worried he was going to give COVID to. Aquaman? A fish? I don't know. All right, DeSantis, did you get your little mic thing to work?
I did not get it to work, no.
Why not?
I think the XLR cord that the station gave me. So the rolls came with an XLR cord, but I need a second XLR cord for it to function properly. And when I hooked everything together, I was relying upon an extra XLR cord that the station gave me, and I don't think it's functioning properly.
I'm going to take an XLR cord and I'm going to put it to the rafters and I'm going to hang myself with an XLR
well,
cord.
Okay. That's what
I'm
going to do. In fairness, though, I don't think the rolls is the reason why, or the lack of rolls is the reason why there's a delay. I think it's just because I'm not in studio. And
no,
you're
it's
not
a delay. This would solve the delay. Plus, I spent good money on this.
Yeah,
this wasn't cheap. I spent like $80 on this for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, but I need
so can you go on
XLR
Amazon and buy it for $9 and buy another XLO cord and just do that?
Well, I'm going to be in studio on Monday, so I'll just pick one up then.
Fine. Pick one up then. Oh, that's right. You have the Travis Manning. Are you up all week next week?
I'm going to be back for a couple weeks. I heard the weather got better in the Philadelphia area, so I'll fly back.
Justin, it's unbelievable, isn't it? This prima donna, it really
it's
is.
Insane.
It really
that's
is.
That's cold. Oh, God forbid it's a little cold.
Well, it's 77, I think, right now. It's sunny and beautiful here in Arizona. California was nice last week. I'll tell you what, I'm getting used to this West Coast weather.
Tell you what, those are some pretty good-looking camels. Just saying. all right, well, maybe next week you can get a better XLR cord, because I'm telling you, this will make a big difference.
All right.
See, look, listen, when I mute myself, there's no delay. No delay. Muting. No, muting.
Stop.
See? 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 No delay. That's the difference. You keep your hand on the button. And see? Look. See here? Bop, bop. Boom. All right. Let's do the Great Philly Meat Heist. I love this story. I really do. It's everything South Philly. It's everything my people. It's everything. I don't know if the Italians were involved in this. I really don't know. I don't care. Here's a report from Fox 29 in Philadelphia. They were not successful in getting the meat heist, the Great Meat Heist of South Philadelphia. But the story is making national and international news, as you can imagine, as it should. Correctly so. Take a watch.
So we had another group trying to steal something unusual, beef. We have beef bandits trying to steal hundreds of boxes of frozen meat from a truck down in South Philly. Police say the four thieves managed to load 184 boxes of beef into a parked SUV along their pickup truck yesterday morning. The truck driver had fallen fast asleep, or the, you know, trailer truck with all the beef inside, on the 3300 block of South 7th Street, where we do a lot of our food distribution. Luckily, the police got there so quickly that the thieves took off in just their pickup truck, leaving all that stolen meat behind, which was worth $55,000.
You missed all the puns. They made a big mistake.
Good
Cop
one.
Showed up. Where's the
prime suspect? Where's the beef?
No, we don't need your little puns. Actually, we don't need your little puns. So if anybody tries to give you some nice meat this Easter, go, I got a nice ham. Can I ham for you? Fill off the back of a truck. You know what I mean? I got a nice ham for Easter dinner. Got a leg of lamb. Got a nice leg of lamb for you. You'll know exactly where it came from. It came from South Philadelphia meat truck. God, I can't love that story. I really do. It makes me happy. I don't know why. It made me happy because the police swooped in and saved the day. That's what made me happy. Good job by the Philadelphia Police Department. Finest law enforcement department in the country. Absolutely the best. All right. But I don't know where the police are when it comes to responding to all these lunatics on the left who are going after Tesla dealerships. When we get back, CNN suggesting that shooting up and firebombing and vandalizing Tesla locations is actually just the resistance. No, I'm not kidding. That's what they're saying. They're saying that it's the resistance. I guess sort of like something in Star Wars. I don't know. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria. It's time to smile. We got so much to smile about. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, by the way, former German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Remember the time Trump dressed her down and told her that she was going to make Vladimir Putin the most powerful and richest guy in the world because they keep buying his oil and natural gas? Remember that and all their stupid energy policies? Well, he was right. And Vladimir Putin became incredibly powerful, and Germany is incredibly reliant on Russia for their oil and natural gas. Well, she also covered up a report from her country's foreign intelligence service that concluded that the likelihood that the coronavirus pandemic came from a Chinese lab was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Germany's version of the CIA conducted an intelligence gathering operation dubbed Saramia. I'm probably not saying that correctly. I don't know how to speak German. That concluded that there was an 80 to 95% likelihood that the pandemic originated during a lab accident at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Now, don't ask me how to say bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli in German, because I don't know. I could put it in Google Translate, but it's not worth it. The findings were contained in a report from a joint investigation by two German newspapers that alleged Merkel decided to keep that bombshell that she learned about in 2020 under lock and key. She likely made that decision to keep the explosive report secret, at least in part because she did not want to help President Donald Trump's reelection in 2020, when much of the world resisted his well-founded claims that China was responsible for what happened. The report and the cover-up by Merkel are likely to sink her approval numbers even lower as she grapples with facing intense backlash over her disastrous policies that have wreaked havoc on her country and Europe. The backlash against Merkel hit new levels after she wrote a new memoir hoping to secure her crumbling legacy. The more than 700-page book was riling up even some of her most ardent supporters because she does not believe that any of her failed policies were bad for the country, including allowing millions of Muslim refugees from the Middle East to be resettled in Germany, and also her disastrous energy policies as well. They called it a self-righteous book. And the most shocking part of the report focused specifically on her retelling of why she allowed millions of Muslim refugees into Germany. Merkel said that it was fully irrelevant whether they had a right to stay in Germany or not when she let them enter the country. She then blamed the German people for the problems that the refugees have caused. So a disaster. But I just found that interesting that, you know, when Trump said to her, what you're doing here is a disaster, Oh, if anyone cares, it's thank you, Kirk, for looking this up. Was it you, Justin, or Kirk?
That was me.
That was you. How do you say that?
It would be Fledermausburger mit Pangolin Pommes frites und Waschbarhund Aioli.
some time on my hands. Figured why not? Just for the fun.
That's great. That's fantastic. Well done. Well done. One more time, how to say a pet burger with a side of penguin fries and a raccoon dog aioli in German?
Fledermausburger mit penguin pommes frites und Waschbarhund aioli.
That's the best! Well done, Justin! Well done! Excellent. That does sound kind of tasty, though. Like, I might order that for Oktoberfest this year. You know, along with a nice Pilsner. Or a Hofbräu. So the other thing too is that I wanted to mention. We got a lot of great comments on the YouTube today. CNN saying that if you attack a Tesla dealership, it's actually good. It's a form of protest. It's you're part of the resistance. That's what the CNN host said, along with Representative Seth Moulin, who basically, you know, no big deal, right? I mean, cut 33.
Like if you are attacking Teslas or dealerships, going beyond vandalism, that could be an act of domestic terrorism. But I do want to ask about this as resistance. Is this what resistance should look like?
So Trump thinks that if you try to kill cops to overthrow the government and change an election, that's not domestic terrorism, but somehow having a protest in front of a Tesla dealership is. The bottom line with Trump is freedom and liberties belong to people who agree with him, and that's it. That's his view of America. That's not a view that people who believe in our Constitution share.
MSNBC basically justifying the same thing as a form of protest, cut 21.
You also overnight have this post claiming that protests at Tesla dealerships are illegal. He said today he would label violence against dealerships domestic terrorism. Now, you know, I am judicious in how I play this sound, but I think you need to hear it from him.
Mr. President, talks about some of the violence that's been going on around the country at dealerships. Some say they should be labeled domestic terrorists.
I will do that. I'll do it. I'm going to stop them. We catch anybody doing it because they're harming a great American company. Let me tell you, you do it to Tesla and you do it to any company, we're going to catch you and you're going to go through hell.
So just to be clear, you protest a private company, you are labeled by this administration a domestic terrorist.
You know what I don't understand is how many people on the left think it's okay to try to destroy an American company, that employs Americans, and whether their political views align with Elon Musk's or not, they just want to destroy the company because of that. That's why I joked earlier. I said I can see them coming out with policies that say by 2035, every car in America has to be gas powered, just to try to stick it to Elon Musk. I mean, they're so stupid, but the way that they advocate violence and the way that they go after people like Musk, who at one time he was a hero. I mean, there's a montages out there showing how the left used to think Elon Musk was a hero. Hell, they had him host Saturday Night Live at one point. They thought he was such a hero. Democrat strategist Julie says that Trump helping Musk is kind of irrelevant because none of us can afford Teslas anyway. Cut 20.
Yeah, Julie, what's your reaction to this Tesla stunt? Is it ironic that the president is now touting electric vehicles?
I mean, first of all, it's not legal. Let's start with that. Second, and we can't do this on the property of the White House. It's federal property. Second, I mean, really, the president is basically a car salesman now. It's just astounding with everything that's going on. I mean, literally, with everything that's going on in the world, he's taking time out of his day to array four or five Teslas on the White House lawn and basically act like a showroom salesman. For, by the way, I don't know who he thinks is buying Teslas, but I can guarantee you that they're out of reach, many of them, for the average Trump voter. So I'm not sure who in the MAGA universe he's urging to buy Teslas, because Teslas consistently, in previous iterations, were bought by wealthier, more environmentally conscious people. And so, you know, if he's trying to now get MAGA to go buy Teslas, I think that's not going to be very successful. But
Oh, really? Well, you might be surprised. We do love the autonomous driving feature. You're going to love taking the kids on spring break at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, though. I'll tell you that. You are going to love it. And if you've not made your plans yet to do so, you better do it. The Easter Kids Spring Break Getaway, available April 13th through the 24th. Book two nights, save 5%. Stay three or four nights, save 10%. Stay five nights or more, save 15% off their regular rates. Breakfast is included in all packages. Memorial Day is also going to be here before you you know it. So book your Memorial Day weekend stay or your summer vacation. And the Grand Hotel will sell out. They sell out every summer. And they have guest rooms, suites, and townhomes to accommodate family gatherings of all sizes so you can make memories to last a lifetime. Plus, unlike a shore house, they have two pools on site. One heated outdoor pool, one indoor heated pool, saltwater pools, great on your skin, and perfect if it rains. And there's a restaurant right on site, Hemingway's Restaurant, with great food, great drinks. Always book direct with the Grand for the best rates by calling 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, or grandhotelcapemay.com. My happy place. Can't wait to see you there this year. Make your reservations today. There's going to be a lot to announce soon regarding our live shows, grandhotelcapemay.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.